Well, welcome once again. We're blessed to be able to have this beautiful opportunity of this expansion of the new hours from 4 to 6 p.m. daily. And I'm most grateful to all of you for your prayers, for the beautiful way that each one of you have underpinned this Catholic Radio Apostolate from the beginning. And how, particularly through these last couple years, you have been lockstep in this radio apostolate, standing in the gap. And God has blessed your faithfulness, and He has expanded this time for another hour every day, prime time, 4 to 6 p.m. And it's amazing to me to see how the Lord works. I shared that. It's the last thing I thought of doing, and certainly didn't know how I could have ever done it. And when I prayed about it, once it was presented to me, and the Lord laid on my heart, Kathleen, I have opened this door for you. You walk through it. So what can you say but, yes, Lord. And so I want to praise and thank God for the opportunity and the outpouring of His Spirit upon this Catholic radio apostolate. And I want to thank all of you. You who have just been such a gift. It is your Catholic radio apostle. I tell you all the time, if somebody asked you, well, are you involved in a ministry? Do you have an apostolate? You can say yes. You see, it might be my voice they will hear. It might be the guest on as Father today, Father Dermot Roche. It might be his voice they will hear. It might be my voice. But our voices would be silent without you. You are the backbone, the very backbone of this Catholic radio apostolate. And so we give God all the glory, but we praise and thank Him for each and every one of you. You know, the scriptures tell us to take care of our own household. And of course, we are right in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. We are your local Catholic radio apostolate. And so we trust that in standing in the gap that you will be able to support us in all those different ways that you can. And without you, as I say, our voices would be silenced. There wouldn't be this apostolate to catechize, to evangelize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice. And so once again, I just want to praise and thank God for each and every one of you. And with that, I want to also praise and thank God for the beautiful gift of Father Dermot Roche. As you know, he joined me last week. He is an SMA father, and of course, that's Society of the African Missions. And I got to say, I'm a little partial. He indeed is a boy from Ireland. So from the time we first connected, we really sensed a powerful moving of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And I had invited Father to do our five-day retreat at Malvern the week before Thanksgiving. And on the way home, as he was heading back, he gave me a call, and he said, I'd like to do it again with you, Kathleen. And so I'm proud and pleased and humbled to announce that he will be joining me again at Malvern the week before Thanksgiving for that five-day retreat. So come and see what God has in store for you. Again, it is the last week, the week right before Thanksgiving, and we'll be giving you more details on that. But for right now, I'd like to bring him aboard. Father Dermot Roche from the Society of African Missions. And are you there, my friend? Are you there, Father?
I'm here.
Well, welcome back again.
Why, thank you very much. It's great to be back.
We just really had, I would say, maybe 10 seconds, maybe less, when he called in, and I asked him if anything was laid on his own particular heart today. And, you know, we have the Saint Louis de Montfort. I guess it's tomorrow. Is it Father tomorrow?
No, it's actually today.
Okay. And we certainly are very familiar with the beautiful consecration to Our Lady. And so Father said he really felt led to really talk about that today. So we're going to open up with that. And then as the Spirit leads both of us, we will carry on the program. Because after all, as our beautiful St. John Paul II has said at the opening of the program, be not afraid. The Holy Spirit is with us. The Holy Spirit is with you. And so we hope that the Spirit of God would fall upon this program as we ask the Lord to bless it, that we would decrease and he would increase within us. So, Father, what are you feeling led to share today? I'm sure about the consecration to Our Lady. Is that it?
Yeah, actually, and much deeper. Mm-hmm. I have a great friendship and devotion to Louis de Montfort, an interesting character, to say the least. And I know that his works, and his dedication was loved by many popes, including John Paul II.
Mm-hmm.
He was a 17th century French-born priest, and he wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to go out to Canada to serve the American Indian, and the bishops simply wouldn't allow him to do that. And he wound up becoming an apostolic preacher just where he was in France, with zeal, and I mean on fire with zeal, love for God, love for Our Lady. He was the founder of both the Daughters of Wisdom as well as his own, the Montfort Fathers, and many, many confraternities. But in his formation, he took sick. I've always found it fascinating that good saints find a lot of their discovery when they're sick. And after he came in from his recovery and he went back into the seminary, the Sulpicians allowed him to study further on Mary. And he calls it his secret.
Yes.
The greatest secret to Jesus is through Mary. And he was also very prophetic in his nature as well. And he's probably one of the only saints, I think, in at least in the modern times of church history, that speak about the future of the church. He mentions very clearly the last times, or as he calls it, the era of the last times. And he calls those who are involved the apostles of the last times. So I go back to what Pope St. John Paul said, be not afraid.
Mm.
In 1976, in your beloved Philadelphia, he addressed the Eucharistic Congress. And he was standing at the area where they signed the Declaration of Independence.
I was there.
He was Carol Boitilla.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a statement. Now, I'm not sure if many people have heard it, but it's good to go over it again. He said, we're now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has ever experienced. And I don't think that the wide circle of the American society or the wide circle of Christian community realizes this fully. We're facing the final confrontation between the church and the anti-church, between the gospel and the anti-gospel, between Christ and the antichrist. Then he said, this confrontation lies within the plans of divine providence. It is therefore in God's plan, and it must be a trial that the church must take up and face courageously. And how did he present his entire papacy? He presented God's mercy through Mary.
Hmm.
And that courage that was to help people knowing that the times were getting tougher and tougher and tougher. And that's where Louis de Montfort really became a source for me of great grace, because he had his famous motto, to Jesus through Mary. And that consecration isn't just a consecration to Mary herself, but consequently to Jesus himself. And I think that's where people really need to understand the two hearts that beat as one. The human heart of Jesus,
yes,
was formed in the womb of Mary by the beating of her own human heart. The intimacy between the two hearts that beat together. And then sometimes they work as a team. You know, because she's always there being the forefront of Christ himself. Louis de Montfort said in one of his prophecies, this one I really love, Mary scarcely appeared in the first coming of Christ, but in the second coming of Jesus, she must be known and openly revealed by the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus may be known and served through her. Now, that's the power of Our Lady in these times.
Amen.
And the power of consecration for these times. And as we say, for such a time as this, God has put us on this earth, 2016.
Well,
and
go ahead.
This whole idea of consecrations are coming back into the heart and the mind of the church. They're actually being done more and more. And several priests in recent years have developed their own consecration books, including myself, authoring a consecration prayer. But the father of it all is Louis de Montfort, with his 33 days of consecration, which is actually a 40-day preparation to Jesus through Mary, in his most famous book, True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I think that's where we need to once again reflect and promote for not only our listeners, but for everyone we meet, that these are tough times, but they're times of great hope, absolutely great hope, that we have a God who is allowing his mother now to come full circle, right on the center stage, to be the new John the Baptist, calling out in this time of new evangelization, come meet my son. Allow yourselves to join me. Let me take you by the hand, and let me lead you to the truth. And I envision that taking of the hand as a sign of a consecration. That she's, once you make that consecration, she's never going to let you go.
Amen. And we know we can never separate the mother from the son. And I know at St. Louis de Montfort, one of the most beautiful compliments that we're talking a little bit also about St. John Paul II today, he took from St. Louis de Montfort, that motto when he was elevated to Pope, to the papacy. He totus tuus. That really came from, from the great saint. It was, he adapted that into his, to be his motto, totus tuus. But it really came from St. Louis de Montfort. And I think that speaks volumes, because Our Lady, as we all know, I mean, Our Lady is certainly, physically, she's been appearing more and more all over the world, more now than ever, and, in every generation. And here, more and more, we see these apparitions. Now, some of them have been approved, of course, we know, Lourdes and, we could name a bunch of them, but many have been approved. Fatima, of course, and Medjugorje, we know we're waiting for an announcement there. It should be coming any day. And when you think about it, why is he sending his mother? What is the reason that she's coming more and more? Why is she appearing? She's pleading the case as you say, for as we always say here, we were born for a time such as this. And for each one of us, every single one of us, we are called to be that voice out there. Our Lady is asking us all to fast, to pray, to intercede, particularly for a time such as this. I know the Blessed Mother, in appearing at Fatima, said in these last days, and that could be a year from now or 100 years from now, but these last days, these times such as this of persecution, particularly for the Church, one of the main things will be the enemy coming against, you know, continuing trying to rip down the Church, the principles and the morals of Christianity, of the Church and her teachings. And we know that marriage is one of those things. I mean, it was even mentioned, as I said, in Our Lady appearing in Fatima. And we're living in a time such as this. You and I are really, every single one of us are really called to be these souls that St. Louis de Montfort has talked about, these souls that will be filled with grace and zeal, that are going to be chosen, if you will, to oppose the enemy. And that's every baptized Catholic that is open to the will of God. What would you agree with that?
Absolutely. The quote that you're paraphrasing is one of his prophecies. He says, towards the end of times, the Almighty God and His Holy Mother are to raise up saints who will surpass in holiness all the other saints, as much as the cedars of Lebanon tower above the little shrubs. I think that's us now.
I do, Father.
And as you're saying, as the darkness is moving and the aggression and the opposition, we who are open to the obligations assumed by our baptismal promises will be those men, women, and children raised to the highest levels of witnessing on this earth during these times. I agree with you totally.
And would you, you know, one of the things that he also said, now I read his book so many years ago. Mm-hmm. I must say, Father Gately's book, which he does a smaller version of that, and I'm very fond of the 33 days, you know, of consecration. But When you really talk about St. Louis, you can't help but remember that he was given this great charge. He was, it was given to him. It was a secret. And he said, you know, be careful. He was told, be careful who you give the secret to, so that they will receive it, but they will also act upon it. He said that they, let me see if I remember this right, they'll have the two-edged sword, the word of God in their mouths, and the blood-stained standard of the cross on their shoulders.
That's
so,
right, yes.
Yeah, you know, so you're, for all of us,
tickling your memory.
but each one of us, you know, we're called to carry the crucifix, to embrace the crucifix when these times come, because that's where our strength is. And and the name of Jesus, he says, every knee shall bow on the earth, below the earth, and above the earth. And, of course, the name of Mary, most holy. As you said, it's the two hearts, the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart of a Holy Mother. And we are called to not only be students of God's Word and so forth and Our Lady, but we're called to live out the rosary and all the rosary, all the mysteries, the joyful times, the sorrowful times, the great enlightenment times. We're all called the glorious times. That's our life. All that is part of our calling as Christians.
It's true. I'm going to tickle your memory as well now. There's one beautiful point where he speaks about what it really means to be consecrated. And you were mentioning, if we truly believe that it has an effect, a consequence, he then speaks about the crushing of the serpent's head by the woman's heel. Okay?
Right.
And, you know, the heel is the most roughest part of the bottom of the body. And he speaks about it as the dirtiest part or the humblest part, the part that nobody wants to talk about. And he says what actually he believes is that we who live our consecration with our mother in the Holy Spirit participate in that heal. That it's not just Our Lady single-handedly slamming that, but because her children are with her in one form or another, we participate also in that heel, in the final crushing of Satan's head, because we have opened ourselves to that love and that spirit and that call.
Yeah. Doesn't he call it the gold of love?
That's right.
The gold of love. And like yourself, Father, I can attest to this. I've worked with Father. We've talked together. We've had conversations over the radio, and I know in all humility he will know exactly what I'm talking about. When you opened up and you were talking about, you know, the apostles of our later times, which we're living in, I believe, quite frankly, now, and so I'm in total agreement with you there. But also, and there's nothing to fear. It's not a time of doom or gloom.
Gloom at all.
Exactly. But one of the things I think is profound for all of us who have the heart for our Lord, His Holy Mother, and Holy Mother Church, is that He says that not only our priest, and that means from all the clergy, but all the clerics, but also every single baptized Christian who will open their mouth and share this truth of the mystery, the secret of Mary, they'll have also be empowered by the Holy Spirit. And wherever the Holy Spirit will lead them, they're going to be filled to overflowing with the message of God's love, His power, wherever they speak, wherever they preach, His words will flow out and do a mighty work to fulfill God's word. And I see that in you, Father. I see it in so many priests that I know. But I absolutely see that element that He's blessing your words. He empowers it with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why I fell in love with that prayer of consecration to the families. I have no doubt that that was truly inspired by the Holy Spirit. And that two-edged sword, I mean, He puts that in our mouths to speak His word in the power and in the name of Jesus. And of course, Our Lady, you can't separate the two. He was flesh of her flesh and bone of her bone. And I say, if we ever wondered what Jesus looked like, he probably looked a lot like his mother, because that's where he got his flesh from.
That's right.
You know?
I'd say he must have been quite a handsome man, because she was quite a beautiful woman.
Yes, absolutely, Father.
What
would you say?
Do you believe, Kathleen, that we have entered the era of Mary?
Oh, I do. Mm. I really do. I think for the longest time, I don't say this in all love, I think for a period of time, you heard the expression, you threw the baby out with the bathwater.
Yes.
And I think in ignorance, or in for one of many different reasons, I think when the bathwater was thrown out, many times Mary was thrown out with it, trying to be all-inclusive, trying to be ecumenical. And believe me, I believe in ecumenism. But Mary is not only a member of the church, she's also mother of the church. And so I absolutely feel that in these later days, in these times, that's what it's meant, that wherever the Holy Spirit would call each one of us, the Holy Spirit's going to fill us like he filled her, to be able to acquiesce to God's will. And I think that's what that's what's really needed in these times. It's through her fiat, that her example. She was fully human, not divine at all. And what a role model she is for each one of us. When we yield to the power of the Holy Spirit, look what happens when God mixes with us in our humanity. Look at the great saints he has raised up. Look at the beautiful gift of his mother. I mean, you know, you heard it said, I forget where I read it, but so many years ago, maybe 40 years ago, I read, all of heaven held its breath until she gave her fiat, her yes. And I think that this is a time like this for now. We too have to be willing to say yes. We too have to be willing to say, I'm open to the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, however you want to use me, whether it's in a, which we would think would be just a tiny little way. When God moves in our lives, it's a big movement of the Spirit, and there's nothing that's insignificant. Everything works together for a greater good.
Mm-hmm. And then what we think we have wasted, God is the great recycler.
Amen.
He will make use of that and make it so it would give him even more greater glory. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah.
You know, people, especially in tough times, the lonely, the sick, sometimes the elderly. I've visited sometimes in nursing homes that have been abandoned. I visit a lot of families now, and I see sometimes that there's a sense of desperation that's out there. And I always try to assure them that Our Lady is not going to give up on anyone.
Mm.
And I remember I was doing a Mariology class in theology, and even, I forget which number it was in Lumen Gentium. But in Lumen Gentium at the very end, which is dedicated to Our Lady, it says, it's something to the fact that Mary's maternity, she's going to be mother forever, and it's going to last until she fulfills every one of the elect. I think that's what it says. And I say to myself, well, thanks be to God. She ain't going to give up until every one of her children, entrusted to her by her own son on the cross, that every single one will be saved.
I agree. Father, I couldn't agree with you more. And before we go on this break, I just want to say, so many people picture Mary as this frail, little Jewish girl, just, you know, very passive. And hey, when it comes to her kids, she's got combat boots on, and she's ready to do war with the enemy and his minions. And we
you
know
don't
the
want to mess with her.
That's
you
right.
Don't want to get on her bad side.
That's right. We're going to take a little break. Don't go away. We will be right back.
I'm Dr. Carol Houghton, Chancellor in the Diocese of Harrisburg. I've been listening to What the World Needs Now with Kathleen McCarthy for about 6 months. The shows that speak especially to me are those where Kathleen either teaches from Scripture or shares her own personal story. When Kathleen teaches from Scripture, I feel like I am on a retreat with her, and I come away from the radio show refreshed and renewed. When Kathleen shares her own story of how God has worked in her life, it gives all of us hope that he can do the same kind of work in our lives. God is present with us. He lives within us, and he loves us unconditionally. That's the message that Kathleen announces every day. And for this ministry, for her yes to God, I am forever grateful.
Thank you. listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again, and this last half hour we were talking of the secret of Mary, St. Louis de Montfort, and Father Roche just spoke so beautifully about these times that we're living in now, and he and I agree completely that so many of St. Louis, really his prophetic word, were for these times that we are living in, that deal with the quote-unquote last days towards the end of the world. And we're just, you know, we're blessed, so blessed to be able to have this Catholic radio apostolate to share these thoughts, these teachings, these beautiful saints that we speak of. And we're able to do that through this. This is one of our, in this new hour, this hour in particular, my hour here is really sponsored by Visiting Angels. And so I just want to say, in this time, in this age, you know, there's so many people that really want to stay in their own home. Maybe they don't want to go to a nursing home. Maybe they feel they can still live in their home and they're not a burden. So perhaps, and they're not a danger to themselves. And today, in our time, we have such beautiful centers, if you will, but we also have beautiful visiting angels. So when you're looking to care for a loved one, to remain independent, living at home, Visiting Angels is ready to serve. They are franchises provided the compassionate and professional caregivers needed. And they deliver the very best home care available. And you can even select your own caregiver before like the services even begin. Services include bathing, dressing, running errands, even light housekeeping and meal preparations, and much more. And you can use their services up until 24 hours a day. So with over 500 franchise offices nationwide and 9 offices in the Delaware Valley alone, Visiting Angels is America's choice in senior home care. Employment opportunities are also available if you're thinking about caregiving. So for Visiting Angels, and it's available. You'll be able to receive support and training that's needed to reach your goal of being a career caregiver. You can call today at 877-374-LIVE or online at visitingangels.com. Again, that's Visiting Angels, 877-374-LIVE. And I want to remind you that every one of these offices, it's independently owned and operated. I have many people that I personally know that have sing the praises of visiting angels. So if you're looking for your loved ones, or you know people in your family that really want to stay independent and live in their homes as long as possible, then call 877-374-LIVE. And with that, Father, we're back. So let's just continue sharing our thoughts, about Our Lady. Of course, she was espoused by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit mixes with us, amazing things happen. And let's share a little bit of those things that God has laid on your heart in regards to, in particular, Saint Louis. And I think it's Marie. Isn't that what he called? Saint Louis Marie Grignon de Montfort.
Yeah. That's his full name.
Yep.
Yeah, Louis was very naturally poetic, especially for the time that he lived in. But he makes no bones about it that it's not just a pious devotion. It's not kind of sentimental.
Amen.
It's not only it requires in that fiat. It requires from us a spiritual dimension, as well as a material dimension. So in other words, as we deepen our prayer life, so as he says, when we make the consecration and continue to renew it, we are obliged to deepen our walk, our journey to the road to holiness. So in other words, we're obliged to make that effort to become a saint. But in doing so, faith and works, as St. James says, they cannot be separated. Louis de Montfort makes it very clear that you are not to do to just sit back and just say that you're in love with Mary and she's in love with you. She's going to demand of you acts of mercy, acts of charity, reaching out, whether it's an apostolic preaching, whether it's reaching out to the homeless or the poor, to the orphans, whatever it might be. That is also an obligation in order to fulfill that criteria. And that goes back to Our Lady's very words in Scripture. Do whatever he tells you. So he tells us in Matthew chapter 25, what you've done to the least of my brothers and sisters, the least of them, you did it to me. So when we understand that love has been given to us, we are compelled to give love back both by word and by deed, as well as by prayer. And it's for me, one of the stabilizing forces of Louis de Montfort, because he was very instrumental in his own ministry, Kathleen, and besides being an apostolic preacher, he built one school after another, because he knew the education of a child is the future of a society. You know, he was very instrumental in reaching out to the poor, and that time in history, it was the time building up to the French Revolution. France was falling apart. So the question that comes back to us is, where are we in our world today? So many people are beginning these consecrations all over again. It's a movement of the Spirit saying we need souls, we need hearts back to do God's work. Are we fusing the spiritual and the material in making this consecration an effectual part of our lives?
You know, my new Monday program with Brian Gale is our recourse, and of course it's for Our Lady. But in talking what you're talking about, we all need to have or make ourselves more aware of forming those habits of offering everything to Our Lady. She is our recourse, our small acts of love, our small acts of mercy, all our intentions, just as if we were depositing all them, we're depositing in her heart, because, you know, he says it's so beautiful that all is with Mary, through Mary. And, you know, it goes back to the saying, Jesus came through Mary, and we're to go back to Jesus through Mary. So what a beautiful program today. Father, would you mind if I'd like to open up the phone lines and see if we had some questions today that somebody might like to ask you or myself. So let me open up the phone line, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. You could also dial completely toll-free anywhere else in the United States by dialing 1-888-34-FAITH. Again, 1-888-34-FAITH. And if you're listening today, perhaps you'd like, you know, to ask Father a question about this beautiful consecration, maybe about the prophetic word that St. Louis de Montfort shared in those days for our days, for a time such as this. Maybe you'd just like to make a comment. So again, give us a call. We have about 15 minutes left. And I'll tell you what, the first person that calls in, we'll send you a copy of Father Dermot Roche's beautiful consecration prayer to the family. And if there's anything that our families need today, it is indeed to be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. And not only for our families, but for families all over the world at these trying times, in these times of darkness. This is a powerful prayer inspired by the Holy Spirit. So if you would like one, first one to call in, we will send it out. We'll put you on hold after your call, and we will mail you a copy of this beautiful prayer, which has also received the imprimatur. So let us continue. As the Lord said yesterday, let us continue on our way.
You know, as you were speaking, I was thinking of those words you said to Juan Diego. He was troubled, you know.
Mm.
She said, am I not your mother?
Am I not your mother?
Mm. I loved that line.
Yeah.
And we need to be assured of that. Is she not our mother?
Mm.
We may not see her. We may not hear her voice all the time, but she's with us. And she's with us because, as you say, the Holy Spirit is in us.
Yeah.
And as the spouse of the Holy Spirit, they work as a team. She prompts him, and he does the rest of the work.
That's right.
And she's with us. And so much of her efforts right now, as I believe she's working time and a half, is to save all our souls, to save our families, and to bring in a whole new era of mercy, of peace, of renewal for all of humanity, as God intended it to be.
Yes.
I think sometimes we are just so saturated with the filth and the lies around us that we forget what does God actually intend? What does that mean? It must be a very beautiful surprise for some of us.
Amen to that. You know, I think sometimes, particularly a lot of, and I hear Catholics say it as well, but our separated brothers and sisters in the Lord of another persuasion, good Christians, they love the Lord, and yet time and time again, I've been approached so many times. Maybe I'll be speaking at a conference or out of the country or out of the state, and someone will come up and they say, you know, it really bothers me. I came with my mother, or I came with my sister-in-law, and you really you know, you act like Mary's God, and you people worship, you people, Catholics, you worship her. And, you know, my heart rejoices to have an opportunity to share not what they think Catholics do, but what Catholics really do. And that's to honor the Blessed Mother. And I say time and time again, you know, Maximilian Kolbe said it so beautifully when he said, nobody could love his mother more than he does. You can't take anything away from Jesus by loving his mother, because nobody could love her more than he does. Do you ever find that yourself as a Catholic priest?
Mm-hmm. Very much so. I often say, I'd say, coming from the Brooklyn scene, we like to have our mothers on the highest pedestal. I'd say he wants his mother always honored and recognized. And he would say, listen, if anybody knows her best, I do.
Amen.
And you know something? Every time we say the name Mary, she says in reply, Jesus.
Yeah. Always pointing the way to her son.
That's right. That is right.
I think.
And I know that she stood behind me when I brought this prayer out to the families. I pray to her every day because she was a wife and a mother, and I keep asking her in the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, your merciful son, will you continue to intercede? So that every time that prayer is prayed, will you save a family member? Will you take their consecration as something very serious? And, you know, I am confident she does.
Yeah.
I have no fear of that.
Me
and
neither.
Every day I continue to pray, when I pray that consecration prayer, that she is also praying it with me and with us.
Amen.
That we will save families, because that consecration is setting our family members and our family lineage aside. So that it has a whole new purpose on the road to reconciliation, to healing, to holiness. And that's all she wants.
That's right.
God will do the rest.
And you know, I mean, when we think about it, the Magnificat is such a beautiful prayer, and you can see her humility. She doesn't say anything but that I am the handmaid of the Lord. He who is mighty has done great things for me. She doesn't say I've done this on my own. I'm the light of the world.
And holy is
my name, right? She says, holy is his name. And how prophetic, you know. I always said Our Lady had a beautiful prophecy in the Magnificat when she said, all ages to come shall call me blessed.
That's right.
All ages to come, that we might be open, that we might, receive the fulfillment of that, because she herself went with the apostles into the upper room, because she was the only one that had already experienced the power of the Holy Spirit in her life coming upon her, overshadowing her and bringing forth the Son of God in her womb. So she knew the power, the love, the mercy. And so she went. She was with the apostles in the upper room. You can never separate the mother from the son. You cannot separate a mother from the child she carries within her, ever. We have about 7 minutes left. Let me give out those numbers. Can't believe you don't have a question about the beautiful consecration to Our Lady, or perhaps a question for Father Roche or myself in the discussion today about the, you know, those prophecies for these last days that who even knew or thought. Maybe you never heard or never thought that St. Louis de Montfort actually had words, had those prophetic words, and that they have for all this time now to be revealed in even stronger and more profound in these times, for times such as this. So again, 610 1-877-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 1-888-34-FAITH. And Father, in these next 7 minutes, what are some of your thoughts about Our Lady and about these times in particular, where she will indeed, by her strength, her love, her support, she'll shelter us under her own protection, under her own mantle. Do you agree with that?
Totally. And all of her recent frequent apparitions are simply a response to her son's request. Get out there. Will you get out there again and do it?
Mm.
And because she was the witness to the crucifixion, because her heart was pierced at such a depth, she had a different understanding of humanity's pain because she was pure. Because she was able to walk with him the road to Calvary and witness his resurrection, she is the ultimate disciple, the ultimate model in these times such as this, to walk with us and show us how to walk our road to Calvary, our daily sufferings, if we have physical sufferings, physical ailments, in the difficulties that have hit our families. That's a real road to Calvary.
Yes.
She's there saying, am I not your mother? Have I not done this before? I'll walk with you. Let me show you the way. And she points all her efforts back to Christ.
Yeah.
Back to Christ. And I believe this is her time, because this time it's not concentrated into one nation, one city. The world is under a cancer, if you will,
yep.
And she's intervening in an extraordinary way, because the whole world in some way or one form or another is walking the road to Calvary, and so is our church. And she's saying, I'll lead you, I'll show you how he does it.
Mm. We got a caller coming in. I just wanted to say, too, you know, in these times of such darkness in the world today, we say the prayer of St. Michael the Archangel all the time after Mass, like we used to do years ago. It's coming back more prevalently now, and I believe it's prevalent because the times demand it. Because for all of us, and we have eyes to see, we have ears to hear, the enemy is, you know, roaring like a lion and, you know, trying to crush those who believe, trying to tear down the church. But we know the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against the church.
That's
and,
right.
And Our
Absolutely.
Lady is
never. Promised by Christ.
Absolutely.
Promised by Christ.
Promised by Christ. So for all of us, we there's nothing to fear, because we know that though the enemy might fight right now, you know, running around like a crazy person, trying to strangle the truth, he will never, ever prevail. And that's why we're filled with grace. We're filled with that zeal and a grace to be able to oppose the enemy, to be her own children coming up, because we do not fight alone. The battle is the Lord's. He is victor, and he goes before us and prepares the way, and Our Lady places her mantle over each and every one of us. So, praise God.
Amen.
Well, I guess they want to call for your car, but they don't want to talk on the air.
Okay.
So, well, praise God. Here we are. We only have 2 minutes left, so, Father, we have to take leave. I have another hour to
I
go
understand.
Into. But it's a blessing always to have you with me. And a blessing to be one with you in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Thank you once again, Kathleen, for this opportunity. To all the listeners out there, may the blessings of the Almighty and Merciful God fall upon each and every one of you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Father.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we come now to the end of the program. We will continue this next hour as we close with our station break. And I want to praise and thank God for each one of you. Journey with us now through the other hour of 5 to 6 with Monsignor Ralph Chifo, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish in Media, Pennsylvania.